The saint which we celebrate today, the principal one, there are many, among them the deacon Philip and other saints who are known to us in the scriptures and in the early days of the church. But this saint is particularly important and impressive because he is very, very much a Eucharistic saint. It is very appropriate since today we have Holy Hour and tomorrow we have the solemn feast of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And so, St. Norbert, whose father was related to the Holy Roman Emperor, his mother was a sister or a cousin of the King of Lorraine, the Count of Lorraine. And so, he was born in good circumstances, and he was taught the things that were important for a young boy, a young man to know, especially to be a cultured young man and boy. But at a certain point, he also began to learn philosophy and theology, which are most necessary. At that point, he was under the service of the emperor. And as he was traveling about doing things for him, and he was not holy as we consider to be holy. He was a very normal, but not holy person. He was traveling on his horse, doing the bidding of the emperor, when he came upon a horrible thunderstorm, the likes of which with which we are very familiar here. And his horse took fright and went up, and he fell. And he fell not only on the ground, but in the mud. So when he got to where he was going, they could not believe that this noble young man was coming to them like this. But they didn't know the whole story. However, Norbert, unlike others who had similar experiences and who did horrible things with them, Norbert decided that this was a sign from God that he must change his ways and give up his worldly ways. And so he went back, and he began to study for the priesthood and was ordained a priest. And he still served under the emperor and under the bishop of Laon, who was to become his very good friend. In the meantime, the emperor sent him, he was already ordained a priest, the emperor sent him to the Pope, the Emperor Henry and the Pope were having a difficulty because of the investiture of the clergy, that is, bishops, and also the tithe. The tithe with which especially German emperors and kings had a problem. They wanted to keep their money home instead of sending it to the Pope. So anyway, St. Norbert went to the Pope in the name of the king, of the emperor, but he was still the servant of God first. And so he did what he could. And the Pope, of course, was not about to give up the things that he knew belonged to the church. And so he went back to the emperor with only half of what the emperor wanted. And the emperor grew very angry, and he went to war with the Pope. In the meantime, Norbert, who had been made a canon of the Cathedral of Laon, was given a place because he decided that he wanted to start a religious order and to be away from all these crazy things of the world in which he had been very much involved by no choice of his own, but by the will of God. And so he decided to open a monastery. And the Bishop of Laon gave him a parcel of land, a very sizable parcel of land, in Laon, on the mountain of Premontre, and thus began the order of Premontre, as the Norbertines are called, the Premonstratensians. In the meantime, he was made, the emperor decided that he needed somebody like him in a good bishopric, so he made him the Archbishop of Magdeburg. So he was both the abbot of this monastery and founder of a new order, and the Bishop of Magdeburg. In those days, however, they were able to travel even more than they are today. And so, in the meantime, St. Norbert began to spread the order, and he went out and preached to young men. And one time, when he came back to the monastery, he brought back 40 young men with him to enter the monastery. Those are definitely different times than what we have. I understand, for instance, and it's the same thing with the others in the society, there is about 100 seminarians, and maybe only 20 of them will be ordained. Most do not make it. Most do not have the courage or the gall to make it to the priesthood. It's very difficult. In my class, there were 12, and only 2 of us made it. And so the seminary is a wonderful place, but it's a very difficult place, and there is where they decide to stay or go. And then even then, after that, many of them leave. But St. Norbert had success. And of course, there was nothing else really available, so the young men stayed, and they grew, and they prospered within the monasteries. Monasteries were opened in Spain and Portugal, in Italy, also throughout Germany, and later on in Hungary and Bohemia. And in fact, when St. Norbert died in 1134, and he was born in 1080, by the way, when he died in 1134, he died near and was buried in the place where he is now, the magnificent monastery of the Premonstratensians in Prague, in Bohemia. And there I have stayed on several occasions, and I have also celebrated Mass at his tomb, where one can venerate his relics and pray to him directly. So we give thanks to God for St. Norbert, who made many sacrifices for the Church and many sacrifices for the Holy Eucharist. He fought the heresies, which were already beginning, against the Eucharist, and he convinced many to come back to the teaching of the Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.